Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 32nd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. And Matt, I have to admit, I'm excited because tomorrow my youngest daughter is graduating from college. That's a big step for her. What's it like to have all your kids out of college?
The best part is having them out of your house.
Well, I don't know.
And you get them on the job and on their way, that's the best part.
Yeah, get them,
But it's a great accomplishment. You got to be tremendously proud.
Yeah, I am, and it's cool, and you've gone through that too, so I know that that's true. There's plenty of news to talk about this week. Cadillac is adding a new electric vehicle to its V performance lineup. We'll have the details on that. The current administration is moving to roll back the previous administration's fuel economy requirements, calling them unlawful or maybe illegal. We'll see about that. We'll tell you more and comment on the implications of that. Will Porsche start building cars in the United States? Speculation about that possibility is rife with all the tariff talk that is going on, and we'll tell you what Porsche's CEO says about that coming up. I also love using the word rife. A lot of people don't use that, but I did here. Tesla has lost a key executive, and we'll tell you who he is and what he did coming up. And the Peterson Auto Museum in Los Angeles has a new exhibit that could be worth taking a road trip to see. We'll have details on that coming up. So we have a lot of news to talk about this week. Matt, do you have a favorite story here?
Well, I like the fuel economy one. I mean, it really has tremendous implications for the kinds of products we're going to see in the not too near distant future.
Yeah, absolutely true. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Matt is a renowned automotive expert, author of a number of auto-related books, including How to Buy an Affordable Electric Car, A Tightwad's Guide to EV Ownership. Matt, it is so great to have you on the show.
It's always good to be here, Jack. There's a lot going on. Fun to talk about.
There is a lot going on. What is your test vehicle this week?
I drove the Corolla FX, which is basically an appearance package on a Corolla hatchback, but it's kind of a cool little vehicle.
Stay with us. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Progressive knows road trips without your pet can be tough.
Hi, this is Next Stop Dog Boarding.
Hi, it's Scott again. How's Squeaks doing? You can tell if he's stressed by his eyebrows. Oh, and his breathing should sound like this.
Scott, Squeaks is exactly the same as last time you called.
Okay, let's talk in 20 to see if anything's changed.
With Progressive, your pet is covered up to $1,000 in vet bills in case of a car accident. So next time, you can take your pet with you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Coverage for dogs and cats is included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
You gotta dip your chicken strips. Hey, this is Keani.
And this is Tabitha.
And a little thing we love about Chick-fil-A chicken strips
is all the different sauces we can dip them in. I like to line up all my favorite sauces so that in every bite, I have a different flavor. Then with the tenderness of the chicken, the juiciness of it, it's all there.
And for me, I like to mix my sauces so I get a little tang and I get a little sweetness all in one bite.
That's what makes it for me. Like, that's what does it for me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Walk right through the door, it's all here to explore. With guides in the know and prices so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Responsibly, B21.
Oh. Welcome back to America on the Road with guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. This is Jack Nerad back with you. Chris Teague is ill this week. We wish him well, and he'll probably be back with us next week. But it's always great to have Matt on the show. Matt and I worked together for a long time at Kelley Blue Book, and we've known each other for a lot longer than that, Matt. And this is the news segment. Cadillac has a new vehicle, the Optiq V, added to its V-Series lineup. It's a performance-focused electric SUV.
You know, I'm kind of mixed. I don't know if people are really looking for performance electric vehicles. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. The performance of electric cars is amazing because of the instant torque and how fast they are. But I just don't, you know, I think they're more interested in luxury than they are in that performance edge. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, Dodge tried it with the Charger, and they have the, you know, the fake noise and all that, try to generate some excitement. But I think people looking for performance are of a little bit more traditional bent. And especially if you look at the racing efforts, there's not, you know, Formula E as electric racing hasn't really caught on. But people like the, you know, Le Mans cars and even the Indy cars are hybrid. So I just don't see why they don't do a performance hybrid V car as opposed to try to elevate this electric SUV.
Yeah, it has the credentials, I guess, 519 mm-hmm. horsepower, 650 pound-feet of torque. Of course, electric vehicles are torque monsters, 0 to 60 time of 3.5 seconds. But I kind of agree with you. I mean, I watched an absolutely terrible movie the other night called The Dilemma, which was made in, I think, 2011, and about making performance-oriented electric cars. It was a comedy, quote unquote, but it didn't seem to resonate then, and I don't think it resonates now. I think we've seen that with Dodge. Interestingly enough, in the movie, they were trying to do that with a Dodge. It just doesn't seem like performance folks, the traditional performance folks, are gravitating at all to electric vehicles.
Yeah. I think there's something visceral about performance cars, and somehow an internal combustion engine somehow seems more alive than an electric vehicle, and that could be, it could be something as simple as that. I don't know.
But yeah, I think there's
I'll
a
leave
lot
that
of,
to the psychologist.
I think there's a lot of refrigerator in the typical electric car.
Yeah.
Pricing for this vehicle starts, if you're interested, at $68,000 or so, almost $69,000. So look at that. Well, here's a story that Matt identified as the most important and probably is. It's the current administration's move to reverse Biden-era fuel economy standards. This is a big shift in U.S. transportation policy, to say the least. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy called the previous rules unlawful. He argues that they improperly factored electric vehicles into fuel economy calculations. And so we'll see what happens with this. This really paves the way for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to revise the standards coming up. Big deal, right, Matt?
Yeah, because they had a really steep curve, upward curve in the CAFE average in order to make it very difficult for manufacturers to build internal combustion engine vehicles. Therefore, it would push EV sales. Unfortunately, the market isn't kind of along with this move. So
right.
The fact that they're getting some relief, you're seeing some almost immediate, you know, Dodge announced that they're putting the Hemi engine back in the Ram. They're bringing the Hemi to the Charger, dropping the EV Charger. It really does give a lot of relief, especially to the domestic manufacturers, because they're so truck heavy. And I think it's, you know, I would hate to see them drive traditional manufacturers out of business because of these standards and allow other countries to come in with electric vehicles and eliminate our homegrown manufacturing base.
Yeah, I mean, the standards were just kind of unbelievable, really, very hard to reach. 50 miles per gallon by 2031, that's not very far off. Annual increases.
And that's an average. That's
average.
I mean, right now there are some vehicles that will get, you know, between 40 and almost 50 miles per gallon, some hybrids, things like that. So some of these numbers are attainable, but not as an average.
Yeah, not even close to being an average. And I think that it's likely that current fuel economy targets for gas-powered vehicles are going to change. That's going to, and of course, there's been a little blow-up, I think, between President Trump and Elon Musk over EV subsidies. Elon looking at his business there at Tesla and wondering what's going to happen with that. And I have to wonder that too, Matt. I mean, I'm wondering if we're reaching close to peak EV right now.
Well, I think so. And I think the other thing that the people don't see about this is it's not over the subsidies, over like the 7,500 tax. It's the ability for Tesla to sell CAFE credits to manufacturers who aren't hitting their numbers. So that whole marketplace is going to change. Right now, that's been a big incentive for people to try to sell some electric cars because they generate these credits that other manufacturers will buy at market rate.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you. Will Porsche build cars in the United States? I mean, there are a lot of reports out there. There's a lot of speculation that with the tariff talk that we've heard, shifting global trade dynamics, I love that, that the German automaker might start to build some stuff here in the United States. You're certainly an industry observer from way back. What's your take on this one?
No, not going to happen. And I'll tell you two things that people don't understand. One, Porsches are expensive cars anyway. And the tariff they're facing is a 25% tariff. Now, in Europe, they pay a 17% VAT, which is built into the price
value
of the
added
car.
Tax.
So the cars are expensive already.
Yeah. Right.
And if the tariffs were such a big issue, they would be building Cayennes in the U.S. already because there's a 25% tariff on imported trucks. So this story is, you know, it's fiction. I don't think they have... They don't have the desire. And they, you know, I think that that's one of the things that they can pride themselves on and make their distinction in the marketplace is the fact that they are German-built vehicles. You don't get anything from Mexico from them. You don't get anything from India from them. They come from Germany, and that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, and you're paying a premium, and more power to you for doing that.
Right.
I think we're liable to see maybe some more investment in the United States from other Volkswagen Group brands. Maybe Audi, for example, will
exactly
do some building of vehicles here, but
again, those vehicles are more price sensitive. So yeah. But Porsche at this point in its is not exactly price sensitive in the market. If you really want one, you want one.
Exactly, and you're willing to pay a premium for it, and more power to you for doing that in all senses of that term. Yeah. Well, Tesla has lost its humanoid robot program head, Milan Kovac. He resigned after nearly a decade with the company. This raises questions about Tesla's initiative in that sphere, in the humanoid robot sphere. He led the development of the Optimus robot since 2022. What do you think this is going to do to Tesla, Matt?
I think it's more of a financial story. It'll depend on whether, you know, how good a crew he had working for him. You know, so I don't know. And again, the whole robot thing, I'm not ready to greet our robot overlords. We'll have yeah. to see. I mean, he's got some pretty, you have the story there, some pretty ambitious targets for the amount of revenue that this is supposed to generate. I don't know. I don't think I'll be alive when that happens.
Yeah. $10 trillion? That seems like a lot of money.
It sure does.
That's one of the targets there. Well, I want to mention this totally awesome exhibit at the Peterson Museum, because that's what it's called. And of course, I have a bit of a connection with the Peterson Museum, having worked for Pete Peterson for years and years and years as editor of Motor Trend. But they're having an exhibit called Cars and Culture of the 80s and 90s. You and I both lived through that as auto journalists. What's yeah. your take on all this?
It'll be neat. You know, at a flashback, you see some of the retro stuff coming back in, and it's an era to be celebrated. There were right. some highs and lows.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have both music, fashion, and cars, and, you know, fashion that we're probably wearing day to day, Matt. You know, a shirt's a shirt, right? Well, when we come back, it will be road test time. Matt, remind us of the vehicle you'll be testing.
The Corolla FX hatchback.
And I'll be testing the Alfa Romeo Tonale Volace. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. He said again.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Matt DiLorenzo. Back with you. It is road test time. And Matt, you got an opportunity at an event we both attended to drive a pretty cool Toyota model that kind of harkens back to the 1980s, you know, harkening back to the previous segment here and what's going on at the Peterson. What's your take on this new Corolla?
Well, I drove it's a little Corolla hatchback. It's based on their entry-level SE trim level. And it's called the FX. And the FX edition kind of calls back to the 80s. They had an FX16, which was like a little pocket rocket version of the Corolla. This time around, it's more of an appearance package than a pure performance package. You know, the standard SE grade comes with a 2-liter four-cylinder engine that makes 169 horses and 151 pound-feet of torque. So, you know, it's got okay, you know, it's a small, light car. It's fun to drive, four-door hatchback. The key here is the graphics and the colors they offered in this Inferno, which is kind of like a sunburst orange color and a blue crushed metallic. It's just really vibrant. And then they offset it with these white 18-inch wheels. It looks really cool. And then there's like a black spoiler across the top of the rear hatch. So it's just fun and cool looking. And I think, you know, if you want to stand out in a sea of kind of anonymous little small cars, this is really a neat little package that they have.
Yeah, I wonder who does, but I guess there are those people out there. I mean, when you stop and think about it, Matt, you don't see colorful cars anymore. We don't see car color. I mean, I think the most popular car colors are white, gray, silver, and black. You know, those kind of colors, almost funereal, as opposed to the vibrant colors that we used to see. I remember when there were tritone vehicles, you know, in the 50s. Yeah. You're not old enough to remember that, Matt, but I remember that.
I read about it in a book.
Yeah, yeah. I just kind of wonder about, I mean, these things are cool, but then, who buys them?
I think young people, actually. You know, there's such a sea of conformity out there. And again, it's an affordable car. Now, they haven't announced prices yet. It'll be probably in the fall because it's going to be a 2026 model. But the current SE comes out at about $23,500, which in a market where $48,000 buys you the average vehicle, it is kind of a bargain. And I think that, you know, the fact that there's only going to be 1,600 of them built, you know, and it's got everything you want, you know, air conditioning, it's got a nice infotainment system, it comes with an automatic transmission, so it's very easy to drive. So a lot of those millennials who don't know how to drive sticks will probably like this car a lot. So I hats off to them because this car is selling. They didn't have to do this, but I thought they thought, well, you know, we recognize we do, you know, even as a Japanese company, we have a little bit of history here. Let's dip back into it and try and have a little bit of fun. And, you know, to be quite frank, I think that the business has been so deadly serious that you know, we could use a little bit of fun here and there. And this car is kind of it.
Yeah, I think one of the business models for this or the reason that it exists is to call attention to the whole Corolla lineup, right?
Exactly.
As opposed to, and so you're going to see this in the showroom. And you might go, wow, that's interesting, and then be interested in it, maybe not end up buying it, but buying another Corolla because you were drawn to this in the first place. I think there's a lot to like about that. And I think when you look at vehicles like Corolla and Honda Civic now and, you know, Nissan Sentra, These are good vehicles. They're pretty roomy vehicles. They're good all-around vehicles. They're not just small cars. They're not the penalty boxes that they used to be. And right. I think drawing some attention to that makes sense.
Yeah, the other interesting thing is that they at the top of the line, they have this GR Corolla, which is a 300 horsepower pocket. It is so much fun to drive. I mean, but it's like, you know, getting close to $40,000. Now, right. A lot of young people know what a GR Corolla is, and they've added an automatic transmission this year, and it's really, but it could be way out of their price range. Here you have the FX that has a little bit of that cachet. It certainly doesn't offer anywhere near the performance of the GR, but you know, if that's what you're going to settle for, you'll have something that's still a little bit special than just a run-of-the-mill hatchback that you can afford.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the specialness of it. You know, I also like the fact that there's some history. I don't know that young folks care yeah. that much about, you know, a vehicle that was introduced in the 1980s when you and I were.
Well, they're kind of getting back into that, you know, and yeah. along this line, and a lot of people were thinking that the Fox platform Mustang was like terrible. They have an FX version of the modern thing that recalls the Fox platform. So I think a lot of these younger people are bigger students of the crappy cars of the 80s than we are.
Yeah. Well, here you have the Peterson Museum celebrating the cars of the 80s, and there were plenty of crappy cars yeah. there, as you yeah. and I know very, very well. Let's talk about this Alfa, the Alfa Tonale. Veloci form is the form I had. It is a compact SUV. Emphasizes performance, technology, and premium design. And I'd say right off the top, this is a good-looking crossover. The exterior styling has Alfa Romeo's distinct design language. It has the tri-lobe LED headlamps and tail lamps. And, you know, some pretty good-looking stuff. The test vehicle I had Verdi Fangio metallic paint. Holy smokes. It's a green metallic. Very, very cool. So it really stands out. We're talking about vehicles that stand out. Certainly this did. It stood out in my driveway. It stood out in the street here, again, amidst all the gray cars and white cars that we're seeing all around us. Curb appeal is pretty strong, don't you think, Matt?
You know, I think that's one of the great things about Alfa Romeos is that you don't see them on every corner.
Yeah.
So when you and their styling is distinctive enough that when you see it, it makes an impression. And I think that the Tonale does that quite well, especially in its class among compact SUVs. It really does kind of stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, I think it stands out as a premium vehicle in this class. I mean, a lot of people are like, Alfa, really? Well, that's interesting. The test vehicle I had a new powertrain for this vehicle here in the United States, a 2-liter turbocharged inline 4-cylinder engine. I'm glad it's not a V4. That makes a lot of sense. Paired with a 9-speed automatic transmission, all-wheel drive is standard, 268 horsepower, 295 pound-feet of torque. So this is a vehicle that gets out of its own way pretty significantly. I mean, take on powertrain, and particularly on going to this turbo, because there's also a plug-in hybrid that, you know, has some drivability issues, I think.
Yeah, and I seem to recall that the plug-in hybrid part really didn't offer you. So, you know, some of them offer you, you know, upwards of, you know, 30 to 40 miles. I don't think you get that far on the plug-in version of this. I think the one thing that the plug-in offers a little bit better torque off the line because of the electric motor and the battery. Yeah, I would just stick with the regular turbocharged IC engine. It'd be a lot more fun to drive, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be lower price too. I had the Veloce package on my vehicle with an uprated suspension system with dual mode active dampers, so that's pretty cool. I mean, one thing about these though is you can kind of set the shock, but in real world driving on the street, I don't know that you can tell the difference. I mean, you've probably experienced this too, and this goes way back to adjustable suspensions. What's your take on that, Matt?
Well, you know, and in the case of Alphas and the ones I've driven, they really do handle well. I mean, they're not set up for comfort, let's put it that way, but they're a lot of fun to drive. They're very responsive. So I don't see the need. I mean, even when you put in a sport, how much sharper can it get? You know, it's just that they're not dialing it back to where there's like a really floppy comfort mode. That's not in their DNA. So, yeah, I agree with you. But the handling on the car is really terrific.
Yeah, the handling is great, and kind of put the car on automatic and let it figure out what it wants to do. Yeah, but with the suspension, you're probably just as well off. Good steering, pretty precise steering, which you like. It has 20-inch, 5-hole Grigio 5-hole alloy wheels with low-profile tires, all-season tires, though, as opposed to summer tires. Fuel economy, not all that swell. 24 miles per gallon combined, 21 in the city, so that's not particularly good. But boy, I love the interior of this vehicle. I think it's just gorgeous inside. I love Italian-designed interiors, Italian-built interiors, which you have here. This is a vehicle built in Italy. We'll see what tariffs have to do with that. But your take on the interior of this vehicle.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that really distinguishes, especially Italian and even some British cars, is their attention to detail. They really know how to work leather in. They really know how to, just from a design perspective, you can come in there and you kind of get what's going on. I'm a big fan of their, of Alphas in general. I think they are a distinctive alternative to, a lot of the BMW, Mercedes kind of cars. If you're in the luxury segment, you want something different, this is the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that you talk about, familiarity, it has the 10 and a quarter inch, rather, Uconnect 5 nav touchscreen. So if you've driven a Stellantis vehicle, you get this. And, it's a very good infotainment system, wireless Apple CarPlay, a lot of good stuff there. So I like that. A lot of stuff on this vehicle and not all that expensive, really. Mm. I think as I was driving it, about $48,000, which for a vehicle with this kind of pizzazz, I think it's a pretty good value. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you look at, like I said, some of the German and even like Lexus, things like that. This is totally reasonable and it's different.
Yeah.
It's a good value.
Yeah, cool. Well, when we come back, we'll have a special guest. Daron Lavin is our guest this week. What an automotive expert he is. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If there's one thing we know about dads, it's that they're not easy to shop for. Enter Kohl's. They've got everything from Nike golf gear to his favorite Levi's jeans. And you can save 20% on other finds like Flex Athleisure and Izod workwear. So if you're not sure what to get dad for Father's Day, you know where to go. Shop Kohl's now. Select styles. Offer ends June 15th. Some exclusions apply. Coupons do not apply to Nike and Levi's. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad back with you. We have a terrific guest. I can't believe, I think we've known each other for the better part of 20 years, Daron Levin. And I don't think I've ever had you on the radio show before. And yet, you're such an expert in this industry. We're in the bowels of Toyota right now at their headquarters confidential tour. Let's talk about that a little bit, what we've learned today and what you've learned and what you think after having spent the day with Toyota.
First of all, thank you very much for having me on your show, Jack. And I can't believe it's taken you this long to invite me, but I'm really happy to be here.
I'm truly an idiot.
You're great. We've been friends for a long time and for good reason. I've followed Toyota since I began covering this industry quite a number of years ago, and I've always respected the company. And I find that now they are in the midst of this tariff uproar that's been caused from Washington, and it makes an already complicated business even much more complicated. So it's really impressive that nobody seems to panic. They didn't cancel this event. They have good answers to all questions. And they point out that they've been through crises before with a tsunami right. in Japan, with trade problems with the United States, with COVID, and somehow things always seem to turn out right. And I found myself being somewhat reassured by that.
Yeah. Well, they've gone through bigger trade problems, right? I mean, we remember, because we're old enough to remember, when there were import restrictions, and which essentially prompted them to build factories in the United States and become major producers of vehicles in the United States.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have happened without that kind of trade restriction that happened 30, 40, 50 years ago.
I'm not sure what would have happened, but it certainly was true that General Motors and Ford were increasingly vexed and somewhat terrified
yes.
by the arrival of Toyota, Honda, other Japanese producers in this market, and really saw that their franchise was under threat. And initially, they were able to stop them with import restrictions. This was under President Reagan. But that only lasted for a while. And it turned out, as you point out correctly, that they decided that they were going to come here and that they were going to build cars here and they were going to do it in an American flavor. And now they're really, if you look at the size of Toyota and the breadth of their products and their financial results, you have to really give them credit for having selected the right strategy.
Yeah, they're really part of the fabric of American life, right? I mean, they're kind of as American as a brand can be in a lot of ways.
There are probably young people today who don't even realize that Toyota is a Japanese company, which I'm sure would please them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about what we've seen today. One of the emphases today was the Toyota BZ, formerly the BZ4X, one of the vehicles that almost impossible to write, say, and do. I mean, they fixed at least the name. Do you think they fixed the car?
I drove in it today. I did not drive it. I drove in it today, and I can report two things. First of all, it's a very handsome vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it is a very smooth and quiet vehicle to drive. I drove with a driving partner, and I didn't really drive it because I'll get to drive it probably in a month or two when one comes to Detroit. When I heard their numbers are better. It's better range, better horsepower. They did things the Toyota way, which is not to try to fix everything all at once and completely and sort of shoot the moon, but to kind of continually improve at 1% a week or 4% a month or whatever it is that they do. It's sort of the steady drip, drip, drip of improvement that really adds up over time to something quite nice.
You know, I talked to the one of the product experts about the vehicle and asked him what the key selling point was. And he said the name, Toyota. And I kind of get that. I mean, in terms of an overall battery electric vehicle, it's fine, but it doesn't stand out. But what does stand out is Toyota and its reputation. So that,
well, they had to overcome. If you recall, a year or two ago, when everybody was bragging about how many electric vehicles they were going to make and how soon it would be 100% of their production volume, none of which has come true, Toyota was kind of dragging its heels.
Yeah.
And they were doing it deliberately because their chairman said, look, there are a lot of customers here who don't want electric cars. We have to please everybody. They're not really the answer for everybody, and it's kind of a mistake to go all in for electric cars. And he endured all kinds of vilification and criticism and terrible op-eds pieces in the New York Times and horrible statements from the Sierra Club that he was not doing what he should to keep the atmosphere clean. But he stood by his guns, and it turns out he was exactly right.
Right.
So I think the Toyota brand basically was strengthened by all of that. People who were in the know and who followed what happened probably have a higher estimation than they did of what Toyota is able to understand and what they're able to do and their position on things.
Yeah, I think Toyota is one of the best managed car companies globally. I mean, that's not news just in, but yeah. I'm curious as to your opinion.
We sound like a couple of PR guys for Toyota, but I call them as I see them.
Yeah.
And when Toyota came here and they explained their approach, first of all, they did something that probably a lot of companies wouldn't have done, is they agreed to be in a joint venture with General Motors, at which point they were willing to share their knowledge about manufacturing techniques and approaches to building things and to training workers and so forth in a way that was quite generous and quite smart, because it helped them get accepted in this society and in this culture. And it turns out that a lot of their techniques for doing things were quite original. Ironically, some of it was actually developed in Detroit and then forgotten.
Right.
But they were able to improve and improve and improve. And then if you now go to a lot of companies that are not auto companies, they will talk about the Toyota way of doing things, whether it's a hospital or a restaurant or some other kind of business, the idea of constant improvement and waste management, using everything to the extent it can, examining things at the site of the problem as opposed to getting reports about it. So a lot of things that they did were sort of simple but very smart, and their way has been very much inculcated in American life.
Yeah. Well, another irony is their Teslas are now being built in that factory in Fremont, California. And let's talk about
that's
that.
That's a former GM
plant. Yeah, a former GM plant that then went fallow and was purchased by Tesla. Let's talk a little bit about Tesla. I mean, perhaps their journey over the last, last year, but maybe even the last few months, has been a wild one. Where do you think they are, and where do you think they're going to go?
Well, Elon Musk, first of all, has gone from being something of a folk hero to techies and young people to now being a villain because he's thrown in with the administration. And
several ways of looking at that, I guess.
I doubted him, I have to say. I have to admit that when he first burst onto the scene, I thought it was a little bit of hype. And I think he certainly has made mistakes, and he's certainly done things that I don't think were a good idea. But I would have to say that overall, he's a kind of a national treasure.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about another global company that maybe is suffering a bit, and that's Nissan. Nissan is embarking on a kind of reinventing itself yet again. What's your prospects about them? What are your thoughts about Nissan and where they're going?
This is an example of a Japanese company that was really one of the first, along with Toyota, to come and do manufacturing here. As a matter of fact, I believe, if I recall correctly, they came before Toyota and were building
Smyrna, Tennessee. Yeah.
And they were always known at, and always have been known as a fine engineering company that sort of didn't understand marketing and naming of cars and were not that good at those things, and they were failing back in 1999. This is 25 years ago when Renault came along and made a joint venture with them and bought a piece of them and let them buy a piece of Renault, and that seemed to be going really well for quite a number of years until, I guess you could say, the chairman, Carlos Ghosn, stepped in it and somehow managed to alienate the Japanese side of the equation and found himself ejected from his company and in standing in criminal charges in Japan for all kinds of allegations that have never been
substantiated, right? Yeah,
or understood, and then has to flee from Japan in a box,
in a suitcase, I think, or something like that. Yeah,
in a box for a musical instrument, and lands up in Lebanon. I don't know whether he's better off in Lebanon right now than being in jail in Japan, but somehow the company never really regained its footing after that, and just went from difficulty to difficulty. And the thing about these global car companies is they really need strong leadership. We've seen that again and again and again. If you don't have strong leadership from the top, many, many things can go bad. And I think that's what we've seen with Nissan. Yeah. And I hope that they can pull out of this tailspin that they seem to be in. But if they don't, then somehow the company's going to get sold or dismembered.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Japanese government always wants to find a partner for most recently, I think they were trying to marry them up with Honda. Right. And Honda kind of went, I'm not sure we want to do that.
Merge with those guys.
Yeah, and, exactly.
That's a very hard thing. But it's also a hard thing if you're a Japanese company to say no to the Japanese government.
Yes.
The Japanese government does have a lot of influence. It's really hard to handicap this one and how it's going to turn out.
They make good products. I think you and I would both say that the products are still good. And I think their marketing is pretty good. And they seem to spend money. So
they got the marketing difficulty was when they changed from Datsun to Nissan.
Yeah.
This was a million years ago and probably very
before many of our listeners were born, right?
Yeah, of course. But I also remember they seemed to persist with colored cars, you know, turquoise cars and yellow cars at a point when people didn't buy cars with those colors. But to their credit, they did have the 280s, the 240Z, the 280Z. Yeah. They've had some great success in racing, and they really make finely engineered vehicles.
I think they have a nice lineup of SUVs and crossovers, but not resonating in the way some of the others are.
Well, you would think that all of this would add up to success in the marketplace, but what happens is that there are more and more companies coming into the marketplace, and everybody wants to grow, and now we have the Chinese coming up fast on the outside, and there's just not enough room for everybody. The whole industry has been in a situation of overcapacity for as long as I've been covering it.
And that's the biggest problem of the industry, and it has been for decades.
Yes, too much capacity. Everybody wants to be in the car business.
Yeah. Well, and explain that to our listeners a little bit, because you and I know the inside baseball there, but what does that actually mean?
So the economics of the sort of the planning volume, the typical planning volume is that you build an assembly plant with a capacity of anywhere from 150,000 to 200,000 cars a year. And it takes the cost of doing that, the cost of developing the car, the cost of setting up all the suppliers is immense. And so what happens is that you are not really making money until you've sold 140,000 cars. And that last 10,000 cars is where all your profit is. So if you stop selling at 140,000, you basically broken even, which is not what investors want to hear. Or if you stop selling cars and had it start discounting them at 130,000, you're losing money. So the ideal is to reach plant capacity and then maybe a little bit over that, you know, getting people to work overtime. That's when the big profits come in, but it's a very narrow window that you have to get through.
Yeah. I think they're talking about closing down 7 car plants. I mean, that's an immense amount of investment that they're going to shut down.
Well, they're going to have to write all the stranded investment. They're going to have to write that all off.
These companies are more on the edge than people think. Well, Doron Levin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. This is Jack Nerad with you. It's listener question time. We love to get your questions and comments. So send them along to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And Matt, I have a question for you that I think is a fascinating one. This is from Irv. He's in Rapid City, South Dakota. And he says this, is it worth fixing my 12-year-old car or should I replace it?
That is a good question.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, and a lot of factors I just can't answer just because of age. You know, mileage, how it was used, whether it was maintained or not, what's wrong with it. They're a 12-year-old car. You have an old Tahoe that you had, you know.
25 years old, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. So when somebody says, yeah, should I replace it? Well, what's wrong with your car? And what do you want from your car? And how do you use your car? I think there are a lot of different questions. So I don't have an answer for him unless I had more information about what he's driving. If he lives in South Dakota and he parks his car out all the time, and
yeah.
I would, yes, go get a new car.
Rust could be a problem and all of that could happen, but
right.
There's a lot to like about a car you've owned for its entire life and you know about. So
sure,
I'd say,
sure.
You know.
And if you've kept up the maintenance,
yeah,
it's, you know, people don't need to change cars just because they need change in their life. If it works for you as transportation, hang on to it.
Yeah,
I have many friends who have old Sequoias, old Tahoes. They just run forever.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Matt, remind us of the title of your book, where folks can buy it.
I've written How to Buy an Affordable Electric Car, Tight Watt's Guide to EV Ownership. You can get it on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, or at my website, tightwattgarage.com.
Yeah, look for that. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in ebook and paperback form at Amazon. We have links to both books in our show notes, so look for that. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And we're available as a podcast, aren't we, Matt?
Yes, we are. Where you get your podcasts.
At all those podcast outlets, we have YouTube and Rumble channels, so check those out and subscribe. Our thanks to Matt for being with us. We do appreciate it very much. He fills in so wonderfully well for Chris Teague. And our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. So thanks to you for listening. Please join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.